Welcome to this RCGP podcast on endometriosis. I'm Tony Hazel, a GP with an interest in women's health, and today I will be interviewing Dr. Anne Connolly. Anne is a gypsy in gynaecology and the RCGP Women's Health Champion. She is leading on the development of the Women's Health Toolkit, which includes relevant learning materials and resources to help primary care clinicians optimise the care provided, particularly for patients experiencing menstrual concerns. She's also chair of the Primary Care Women's Health Forum, which seeks to share best practice and provide training in women's health issues to those working in primary care. Thank you for your time today, Anne.
Oh, hi, Tony, and thanks very much.
So let's start with the basics. Can you remind us exactly what endometriosis is?
So endometriosis is very common. Basically, it's endometrium where it shouldn't be. It can be found anywhere in the body, but it's typically in the peritoneal cavity or actually in the myometrium, you know, the muscle of the uterus. And then it tends to be called adenomyosis. It can also be in the ovaries. The thing about endometriosis is those patches of endometrium go through the same hormonal changes that the normal endometrium goes through. So at the time of when we are bleeding during menstruation, those patches of endometrium will bleed. If they are around the peritoneum, then they will cause pain because that bleeding will cause irritation of the peritoneum and the bowel or wherever it is, and will cause pain during the bleeding time. If that patch of endometrium is in the ovary, if it's an ovarian cyst, then it will bleed into that cyst, and then we hear about chocolate cysts of the ovary. If it's in the bladder, the patch of endometrium, then it will bleed each month cyclically, and some women will have hematuria. So in the short term, it's all about the cyclical symptoms of which are linked in with bleeding. But then in the longer term, because of that recurrent bleeding, that repetitive problem, it starts to cause scarring and adhesions, and then goes on to cause the longer term problems of endometriosis, which are chronic pain. And if it's in the tubes, you get scarring in the tubes, then it will cause subfertility.
So I suppose women would often present and say, I have period pain, but are there other things that they would say in their presentation?
The main thing, as you say, is period pain, and that is really our main diagnostic clue. And the pain usually starts just before the period starts, and then it goes on during the bleeding. And that's the acute presentation. That's the early presentation. The other things they'll talk about is it really has this impact on their life. So some women won't get much problem from it, and other women will get really significant problems. And then they'll start to have problems maybe with missing school, missing work, struggling to concentrate during exams. And so there's the psychological impact as well of endometriosis. Some women will find that the problem is due to pain during sex, because as that recurrent bleeding happens, the scarring, things sort of get stuck down in the pelvis, and so some women will get dyspareunia. But really it depends where it is. It depends where that problem of endometriosis is. Because as we say, if it's in the bladder, then a woman might have hematuria every month. If it's in the bowel, then she might have rectal bleeding every month. But it's about the cyclical nature of it that is really what should make us think of endometriosis.
There's been a lot in the press recently about long delays in the diagnosis of endometriosis. And of course, it's very tricky because we can't diagnose it in primary care because a true diagnosis needs a laparoscopy. So can you explain a bit about this issue?
So it's a really common problem. They reckon that about 10% of women in the UK will have endometriosis. But why are we slow? You know, sometimes women will not present. They're very used to having painful periods. Their mum had painful periods. We don't talk well about period problems. It's not until recently been taught well in schools. And so some women will tolerate problems for a long time before finally coming to us to think it's a problem. But there's also variation in presentations. So some women will have very severe period problems. Some women will have more vague period problems, some women will have other symptoms. So what we've just got to think about is if it is cyclical and it is repetitive and it is occurring every month, you know, then we must think about endometriosis. The other challenge is about how do you make the diagnosis? Because the true diagnosis really has to be made at laparoscopy. So when somebody is looking directly at the patches of endometriosis with a laparoscope, and that's how you would truly make the diagnosis. But do 10% of our women need laparoscopy? Is it really necessary? And is that the risks of that right for everybody? So sometimes we say to women, we think you have endometriosis and we will treat it without them going through laparoscopy. So there's always that confusion, isn't there, about it?
Yes, I think it is very difficult. And as you say, the importance of communication right from the start is key. So that takes us on to the first consultation. You're in a first consultation and what the woman has said so far makes you think that she may have endometriosis. How would you go about that consultation? And how might that differ if the woman was, say, within a year or two of her menarche compared to an older woman?
That's a really important point there. Most young girls, when they go through the menarche, they will have painful periods. It's called dysfunctional uterine bleeding, and it lasts for the first few years, but then it settles down. So there is a suggestion that endometriosis really shouldn't be thought about till a woman is about 17 or above, although some women will clearly have problems younger than that. So for me, it's about waiting for a few years before I start using those sort of words in those younger women. But as ever with women's health, it's about taking a sensitive, careful history, and it's about a personalised, individualised approach, because we need to know what is it that matters to her about her symptoms. Is it because it is pain? Is it because it's more about the social impact it's having, the psychological impact, missing school? Is it about sexual concerns? So it is about getting that holistic approach to care that we do all the time in primary care. So then thinking about, do I do an abdominal examination? So I would usually put a hand on someone's abdomen because I think that's what they expect, and obviously you just don't want to get any surprises. And speculum examination, pelvic examination, I restrict those only if I was considering a differential diagnosis of something like pelvic infection. Would I think about doing a speculum or a VE, particularly in a younger woman? But then I would talk about the symptoms, and then maybe ask them to go away and keep a symptom diary. And on Endometriosis UK website, there's a really good symptom diary because it includes not just the bleeding, but also about whether they've got any urinary or bowel problems, which we can watch in this cyclical nature. Endometriosis UK has some great resources. I'm a little bit cautious about sending someone to that website unless I've got a real clear idea that I think it's going to be endometriosis, because what I don't want them to do is to be starting panicking too early. So that's sort of the initial thing that I would be doing. I wouldn't necessarily send for a pelvic scan at that point, but if you do decide to send someone for an ultrasound scan, make it clear on the form that you're looking for endometriosis, because it's so hard to see that they probably would want one of their more skilled ultrasound scanners to do that test.
Thank you very much. That's a really useful outline. And so we talked a little bit about the fact that diagnosis needs a laparoscopy, but not every woman will want that. Have you got any tips to try and square that circle?
It's a great point and a great challenge. Firstly, I think it's about a woman understanding what we're thinking, what the diagnosis might be. So talking more about endometriosis. So I wouldn't refer straight away. I'd be looking at that symptom diary. I'd be looking at response to early treatments that I might have been using. And document that well. NICE guidance talks to us very clearly about starting treatment in primary care, because what we want to do is to stop that bleeding. We've got to stop the bleeding early to stop the longer term damage of tubal scarring and adhesions from happening. So we need to get some treatment in early. And some women are quite happy. Once they've got their information, they're responding well to the treatment, that they're quite happy with that, because at that time, maybe they don't want surgery, they don't think they need surgery. But it's about the woman being informed enough so that she can make her choice about the sort of the treatment and the outcomes that she wants. The other issue is that, you know, we really want to stop women from bleeding. And to do that, we use the contraceptives. You can use any. You can use combined pill. You can use the implant, depo. The intrauterine systems work very well. But she might not choose to have hormonal treatment at that time in which case she's not likely to respond quite so well to the treatments, and therefore she might go earlier or want a laparoscopy earlier. Because laparoscopy is the gold standard, but we do know it does incur risks.
Yeah, I think that's a good summary, and it's so important to talk to the individual patient and see what they want and what their priorities are. So what could we do better in primary care?
I think it's really earlier diagnosis. So it's listening carefully to the woman, and it's often younger women, isn't it, who may not have come to us previously, either on their own or we may not have seen them about period type problems. So it's about listening very carefully to what they're telling us, appreciating that it will be different for every woman, really understanding the impact that it's having on her life so that we can give her the support she needs as well as the information. So it's personalised care. And then it's about signposting to relevant, useful resources so she can make her choices. Because endometriosis is not going to go away. Even with surgery, often women are left with longer-term problems. So it's about working out how you're going to manage that problem over the time. And, you know, as primary care, we can see people time and time again. So it's about starting the diagnosis, building that relationship, bringing them back to see the response, and then, if need be, pick up some other issues then.
Yes, that is one of the joys of general practice, is that we can bring people back if we need to. So I think we're probably coming to the end of this podcast. Could you summarise what you think are the key take-home messages from today?
So endometriosis is very common. It has an impact on women's lives which go beyond the physical symptoms. So we know it has social impact with missed education, work, poor exams at times. And can have an impact on somebody's sex life. It's important that we provide good menstrual well-being education, you know, and that is supported by us signposting to relevant resources and not some of the Dr. Google on the internet, which sometimes can be really difficult and complex and upsetting. And then we need to get in with early treatments. So we need to get, preferably, hormones, treating the symptoms early, at an early stage, so that we can stop that longer-term problem, which will go on to cause fertility and chronic pain.
Thank you very much, Anne. That has been really useful. Thank you for listening to this RCGP podcast, and please do join us for the other three podcasts in the series. For more information and resources, please visit the Women's Health Hub at rcgp.org.uk/women's-health. And I'd like to say a big thank you to Endometriosis UK for their support.